Welcome to Command Control Power, a weekly podcast hosted by three certified members of the Apple Consultants Network, drawing from over 30 years combined experience. We talk shop, interview vendors and colleagues, and share what we've learned while operating our technology consulting practices. This is Joe Saponari of CIMAC, and my two co-hosts are Sam Valencia of the HCS Technology Group and Jerry Zygmunt of MacWorks. We are live at commandcontrolpower.com, the first Tuesday of every month, where new episodes are posted weekly. Thanks for listening.
This week's Command Control Power is sponsored by ProSoft Engineering, makers of Data Rescue and the new Drive Genius 5. Check them out at prosofteng.com/CCP.
Welcome to our live show, and we have a replacement co-host today stepping in for Sam. Sam is in transit right now, but we'd like to welcome Kevin Ginger. Kevin, thanks for joining us on Command Control Power this month.
Thanks for having me.
We got to talk with you at the ACES conference last year, and we also have another surprise guest joining us, Justin Eskar, the host of ACES. Justin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
So we're talking about the ACES conference, acesconf.com. As I mentioned, we spoke with you, Kevin, last year at ACES live in front of an audience. How fun was that?
It was great.
It was really awesome. Thanks for doing that. I mean, it really was great to have you up there. And that
excuse me, Joe. Feel free to start your Mac, gentlemen.
Reboot anytime. Yeah.
How are you even on Skype if your Mac is not actually on?
I'm surrounded by 10 computers right now.
Wow.
So
wow.
He's technologically leveraged.
Yeah, right.
Like that.
ACES is coming up faster than you can possibly imagine. It begins on May 31st. Is that right, Justin?
Yeah, May 31st and June 1st. Don't remind me that it's coming up so fast because it puts me in a very strange position to have to worry about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine the weight on your shoulders, you know, putting on a conference for all of your colleagues. Did a great job last year. That was my first year. But Kevin, that was your second year, wasn't it?
Yes. So,
and you're coming back again this year, from what I understand.
Every one of them.
Let's put you on the spot here. What keeps you coming back to ACES? Before you answer that question, Justin, give us a little short elevator speech. What is the ACES conference? If you haven't heard about it already on our show or read about it online, what is it and why should I come?
Yeah, totally. So ACES is all about the business side of IT consulting. The people who are listening to this podcast right now are IT consultants in some way, and they have a business in some way. And this is all about growing that business. So we don't talk about Terminal, and we don't talk about Monkey, and we don't talk about those things. We talk about things that are important to make your business better, because you could be the best consultant out there, but if you don't have any clients, it doesn't matter. So we cover things from marketing, finance, legal. We're doing automation this year. We're dealing with revenue streams, contracts, all these different topics that we're going to be covering.
And you've got a great lineup of speakers this year.
This is going to be the first year, actually, I think we have anyone coming from overseas. I think we have two people coming from Denmark and someone's coming from Australia this year, which is really awesome. One of our speakers, Remy Kremers, is coming from overseas. He's doing the 3 R's, recurring revenue from residential clients, talking about like how to get more money out of your home users.
Poetry to Joe's ears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I am very much looking forward to that talk. And in fact, been planning this residential roundtable show, which is coming up in a few weeks. We've invited Remy to talk about that topic because he seems to be such an expert on it. And so it'll be a little bit of a tease of his ACES talk as well, I think. Yeah, that's, I think, the one I'm looking forward to most.
And we have also a lot of people that are not consultants doing topics, right? So we have Aaron Burry from Canada is coming up to talk about marketing and building your brand. Adam Engst from Tidbits is coming down. Jennifer Dawn, Dave Postalski, Marcy Maslov, Jeff Tobe, our keynote, Mike Michalowicz, are all coming in. And then on top of that, we have people that are in our community that we all know and love. Brian Best, Alex Narvi, JD Strong, Harold Mann, Ryan Grimes. It's going to be a pretty powerful lineup this year.
Now, Kevin, it's your third year. What keeps you coming back to ACES?
Well, it really gives me the opportunity to put on my business hat and to really focus and think about what I'm doing on the business end. You know, we run around doing our tech all day long, but when do we really get to focus on the business?
And we all run our own consulting practices, and we can all come up with excuses why we can't get away for 2 or 3 days. You know, oh, I've got to travel all the way to Tucson and I'm going to lose money because I won't be bringing any revenue in while I'm away. And I'm one of these guys who does this where I drag my heels and I wait and await. No sort of discounted tickets will drive me to buy that ticket early. And I kind of wait and wait. And then there's just this moment, inflection point, where I pull the trigger and I say, gosh darn it, I got to go and I got to see this and I got to participate. If you're out there and you're listening, if you're having any thoughts into attending this conference, now's the time to strike the iron, because this is one of the really, really important events if you're running your own consulting practices. One of these things you must go to. And you meet a lot of other great people in the community, and you just get an amazing amount of ideas and ways to energize and infuse your business going forward.
I also want to add the camaraderie that you get by talking to people in between sessions and at lunch and dinners and the extracurricular activity that we get to have. You know, you get to speak with your peers and say, well, how are you doing this and what are you doing? And we're not just talking about tech, that you know, pretty much all have tech solutions under our belt that work for us. But then when do we really get to think about how well is this business being run and how do we grow it or how do we serve our clients better?
You have to invest in yourself. But this goes for any conference. This goes for MacTech or MacStock or any of those conferences. Or even going to like taking a class or something like that or getting a certification. You have to take the time to invest in yourself in order to be able to continue to grow. And if you don't take that time, I see a lot of people worrying, kind of like what you were saying, Jerry, like how am I going to take 2 days off and I'm not going to have any like revenue? One, you come to the conference, you learn about how to make revenue when you're not working. And two, you need to learn by investing in yourself and then find out those solutions so you can go to more conferences or you can take a week off and not have to worry about it. When was the last time anybody took a vacation and wasn't worried that a pipe was going to burst in the server room or something?
Don't ask Joe that. Joe's on vacation just about every other week. So.
Well, if he'd asked me that about 3 years ago, it would have been like, you know, I've taken a vacation, but like I'm working through it. You know, I'm like doing remote support because I have to keep things moving. I have to keep working, you know, even when I'm on vacation. So, yeah, I've been able to, through going to some conferences and through talking to you guys, figure that part out where I've been able to take vacations and make them real vacations, actually be away and be kind of disconnected from the everyday consulting. That's huge. And I think a big part of it is the recurring revenue part, specifically with the residential clients. That's been a big deal because you know, imagine being on a beach somewhere and you're getting an email that you just made some money somehow. Like, that's so cool, you know, to be able to make money.
That's the dream, right? Just to sit home and just get check after check after check and having not done anything.
Exactly.
I went to Japan 4 years ago for 2 weeks. So I'm on the other side of the country. Like, there's no way I can take care of my clients. But I had hired somebody and I learned how to hire people. And these are things that are taught or you can learn from other consultants at ACES in order to cover yourself so that way you can take a vacation like that, you know, or not have to worry about it. And that's a huge thing. I've been saying this for the last 3 years. I really do believe that our community of the Apple consultants, and don't forget, ACES isn't just for Apple consultants. It's for all IT consultants. But the Apple consultants community, a lot of us do not invest in ourselves as much as we should. Whether that's going to ACES or taking a certification or whatever, from what I have seen in the years of doing this, we as a community do not invest in ourselves enough.
Yeah, and I think that's really true.
Myself included. It hasn't been until the last 3 years that I've really invested in managed services, recurring contracts, or that investment in growing the company. That's been a real big plus to be able to get into ACES conference and learn those things and discuss them with other people.
And as we said on a previous show, a lot of these ideas and these concepts have been in the PC world for a long time, you know, like right. Automation and managing your business. But these are all new things for some of Apple consultants that are out there. And if you constantly, you know, live in this little bubble where your nose is right to the grindstone and you're just lining up appointments day after day and you don't get out there and spread your wings a little bit, you become very narrow-casted in what your abilities are. This sort of frees up your mind to other ideas and other thoughts and to talk to other people. That's invaluable. It's a gathering of the tribe. I said that last year, but I really truly feel that's what happens here. There's things that are very consumer driven, very client driven get togethers like the MacStock conference, which looks like a lot of fun. For us, this is the conference for us to go to focus on how to run our business.
It's funny because I was actually just talking to another Apple consultant on Twitter a couple of days ago, and I'm not going to mention who, but they had asked me about, hey, I'm getting this new client. How much should I bill them? And I'm like, you've been in a consultant for like how long now? And you're questioning like how much you should bill a potential new client, this revenue. These are things that you will learn at ACES from the sessions or from other consultants. And actually, I just want to go back. Joe, for you to be able to take a vacation, because I have to give a shout out to Brian Best. He's a 3-time speaker. He's doing work on it or work in it. And it's all about leaving a legacy and being able to walk away from your day to day and make sure that your business keeps going. Oh, and I think that's huge. Yeah, I think that's going to be huge for so many people to say, oh my God, I can't take a break, or like I can hire somebody, even if it's just for like 2 weeks. Actually, I hired Kevin. Like, we have a new client in New York who has an office near Kevin. I hired Kevin. I would have never met him had it not been the ACES conference. And now I have someone who can take care of my client in Portland for me without having to worry. I know that they're taken care of properly.
Yeah, that relationship is really important, you know, to be able to meet somebody in person, not only put a face with the name, as they say, but just to form that, you know, personal relationship. It really goes a long way toward, you know, making you feel comfortable with passing along the information and knowing that you've got a network of people that support you and can help all of the world. I mean, that's incredible. The idea about leaving a legacy, how did you put it, Justin? Like, work on it or work in it?
He named it. I'm going to give him credit. It's work on it or work in it. Yeah.
That whole idea is just really interesting to me, you know, right now. And first, I think brought it to my attention was a talk last year by Amy McKnight at ACES. And mm-hmm. She talked about the business maturity date. And that was like a concept that just kind of like gelled in my mind. All these other ideas about just thinking about like how, you know, it was very, very hard for me to imagine going back, you know, about 5 years. What am I doing here? I'm just toiling away day after day, you know, just helping the clients, but I'm not actually building a real business. Because if I were to say, hey, do you want to buy my business? It's like, well, what's your business? Your business is you going to people's houses and fixing their stuff. Basically, what you're selling is like a list of clients. And those clients are going to say, who are you? If you sell your business and somebody new calls them, right? Whereas if you build the business, you work on the business, create something that can be sellable. If you're thinking toward the business maturity date, the date at which your business can live on without you, so to speak, that's a real interesting target to keep in mind, as we're still toiling away, still working with those clients, but at least we're working towards something bigger than just day after day, day in, day out, helping Nana check her email, as I like to say.
Some of our other topics, just to give them a quick list. Aaron Burry is doing 10 Keys of Personal Brand. Adam Engst is doing Publish or Perish, content marketing for consultants. Actually, I was just talking to him today about this, his new content management service for consultants, which is a huge thing. And I think people who are coming to ACES are going to learn a lot from that. Jennifer Dawn's talking about 5 secrets to cash flow freedom. How often are you chasing clients for payments?
Too often.
When you have to do that, don't you feel like stressed that maybe you're not able to take a paycheck? How are you going to be able to pay your bills that month or anything like that?
For sure.
Jennifer's talk is all about how to stop living paycheck to paycheck. And I can attest to it because I actually work with Jennifer. She's actually my business coach. She fixed that problem for me.
Yeah, and these may be foreign terms to a lot of you listening, like business coach. Like, I don't need no stinking business coach, you know?
Yes, but you do. Yes, you do.
Exactly. And that's your first step, is coming to the conference and at least hearing her speak and having an open mind. So many reasons to plan on it now. Get your ticket, get your plane ticket, get your ACES ticket before flights start to really escalate as you get closer to the dates. Now's the time to lock it in.
Let's talk about the one-on-one consulting. So it's something special we're doing this year. You can buy a half-hour session with Jennifer or with Mike Michalowicz, our keynote speaker, to talk one-on-one with them about your business. Essentially, you're getting a half-hour business consulting session, and you could talk about the specifics of your business. So yes, both Jennifer and Mike are going to be speaking. Mike's going to be talking about his book, Profit First. But you can talk to him. And Mike's actually run an IT company. And if anyone's ever read his book, The Pumpkin Plan, which if you haven't, go buy it right now. We're doing a very special thing where you could actually sit down with them for a half hour and get a one-on-one consulting with them, which I think is going to be huge, because these are the people who you can ask who are not IT consultants. So they have a very different perspective on how we should run our businesses, but how you can get that personal advice and not feel weird talking about your company to other people. Jennifer's been my coach for a while now. She did a lot for my business. She might not be able to teach me how to like use Adagy better, because that's not her thing, but she's taught me ways to think, sell Adagy or sell Watchmen or sell these other products that I have on my clients to create more revenue. She's also run a couple IT companies in the past also, which is why we're doing the two of them. So you can buy sessions with them, those seats are very, very limited. So if you want one, you got to get it now, because when those are gone, that's it. The proactive certification from Watchman Monitoring, Alan has graced us. He's going to do a class and a certification to become part of the proactive support certification. It's a great opportunity to get in there, get on another list, get another certification, show your professionalism, and know that your clients, you know, when you go get a new client, these are the things that weigh on them to see, like, are you the right consultant? And these are and having a proactive services certification from Watchman is going to be a huge part of that.
Absolutely. Another reason to go to ACES is, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about these products that we just mentioned, like Adagy, and also there's SolarWinds MSP. You're going to be able to talk to other consultants who are using these products if you're interested in kicking the tires or trying some of these products, and you can get some firsthand references from some other consultants who've been using these products. So another reason to go to ACES.
It's all about what you can learn and how you can be inspired, not only the conference sessions, but also, as we've discussed, the sort of hallway sessions, as they say. Like you said, this is really like an audience of our peers and colleagues, and who better to ask these burning questions? Like you said, somebody tweeted asking you, what do I charge? It's that kind of thing that we kind of hit our family up about all the time, and friends. And, you know, we talk about business sometimes with people who don't have really an idea about what we do and exactly, you know, what all the implications are and things. Whereas when you go to ACES, it's a self-selected group of people that are exactly along those lines who can help you make informed decisions. They have the background knowledge to up-level your business. So definitely highly recommended. I'm really looking forward to it. ACESconf.com. We want to see you all there at ACES. Justin, thanks for joining us. Any last parting words before we see you at ACES?
Nobody hears from me for the next month and a half. That's because my head is really busy dealing with the conference.
And the conference will be that much better.
And the conference will be that much better. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you guys, the CCP podcast. You guys have been huge for us, and I'm so excited to have you guys back this year to do another live show. I know that our conference is a Wednesday, and you do your live shows on Tuesdays, so that might throw people a little bit. But to do a live recording at the conference and being so helpful and such a part of this, so grateful for you guys, and I'm grateful for the community, because if it wasn't for people who wanted to come, Kevin is a great example, coming 3 years in a row. Like, if it wasn't for people like Kevin, this would never happen. So it really gives me the warm fuzzies inside that you guys love ACES that much, and that I want to put on a better show for you guys moving forward.
Awesome. Well, somebody got the warm fuzzy reference in there in Sam's absence. So thank you, Justin, for the comments. We really appreciate the work you do too, and we're really looking forward to it. And if I'm hearing you correctly, I think it's almost worth the price of admission to see Command Control Power live.
Fly to Phoenix, pay for the hotel, and get the conference just exactly. To watch CCP live.
We will sign your autographs. At least you'll be able to take something home with you with Jerry's elusive signature.
There you go.
Thanks again, Justin. We'll look forward to seeing you at ACES.
Appreciate it.
Joe, I want to tell you about something I like and something I'm really excited about. Last year, we had Chris Brewer on, who's the CEO of ProSoft Engineering. If that name sounds familiar to you, they're the makers of this great product that I've been using for years now as a consultant called Data Rescue. And they also make a product called Drive Genius. And I called upon Drive Genius last year to really get me out of a jam. It did a block-by-block copy of a failing drive for a high-profile client for me and made me look like a hero. After we had Chris on the show, something I've been doing since he's appeared with us, using Drive Genius, running Resident on my Mac every single day. One feature that I particularly love about Drive Genius is called Drive Pulse. What it does is it monitors the health of your hard drive. So how many times have you booted off of the recovery partition and all of a sudden it found some anomalies with your drive that it needed to repair? Either the amount of data blocks were off and it needed to repair that. And you're like, huh, I wonder when that happened. Well, Drive Pulse monitors on a daily basis the health of your drive. And anytime your drive does need repair, it'll let you know ahead of time. It'll give you a warning. And this has really just had me run a real solid, healthy machine. And I just absolutely love the product.
Yeah, I totally agree, Jerry. That Drive Pulse feature seems to be almost like a smart status on steroids. It's well beyond as typical, you know, yes, no, pass, fail kind of situation that you get from a smart status. The built-in smart status generally won't tell you when your drive is actually failing. You need this kind of advanced warning system. The Drive Pulse feature of Drive Genius lives in the menu bar. It'll tell you the status at a moment's notice. It runs in the background, and it is designed not to interfere with your work. It's all designed to help you avoid data loss or data corruption. That's just one of the features of Drive Genius. Another feature of Drive Genius that I really like is this new built-in malware scan. So it's kind of like a one-stop shop for not only protecting the disk from file system corruption or hardware failure, but it also works on the file level in that sense, not only malware, but lots of other features as well. Like you can use it to find duplicate files, you can use it to find large files on your disk. If you're trying to hunt down where that space is being used on your disk or a client disk, you can use those features. One other thing I really like about Drive Genius is the secure erase feature. And you may be wondering, you know, what's the point? There's a built-in one in Disk Utility. Disk Utility will refuse to securely erase a solid-state drive or flash module. So if you have a MacBook Air that you've inherited from a client, you've got to securely erase it and refurbish it for resale. You can't use the built-in Disk Utility to securely erase the drive. I've used Drive Genius secure erase feature to erase just such a drive. I don't trust that Apple says it doesn't run a secure erase on a flash module because these types of storage modules don't need to be secure erased. I don't really trust that. I'm not sure where they get that information. I want to be definitively sure that I've actually overwritten the data. That's a great use for the secure erase feature built into Drive Genius.
This is a brand new product. This is Drive Genius 5 with the malware scan, and also it's ready for APFS. So you've heard a lot about the new Apple file system. Drive Genius has been written to take advantage of all the changes that have been happening within the APFS file structure. So you can use this with confidence and assurity, not only on your Mac, but also on all your client Macs. You can buy a consultant's license, and you're off and running. It's truly a Swiss Army knife for handling a variety of different tasks that you need to run, not only repairs, but scans on your Mac.
Drive Genius 5 was just released. It's available now, and you should visit prosofteng.com/ccp, where you can save $100 on your upgrade price for your professional license of Drive Genius 5. If you're coming from Drive Genius 4 and upgrading to Drive Genius 5, the professional upgrade would normally cost $299. You get $100 off, and it only costs $199 to get the latest and greatest version. It runs on macOS 10.10 and above, and we highly recommend upgrading to Drive Genius 5 from ProSoft Engineering. If you have a personal license, you'll find a link on that page to upgrade your personal license. The personal license is 50% off. We highly recommend getting the latest and greatest. You want to stay up to date to be able to enjoy the latest features and to be compatible with the latest updates from Apple. ProSoftEng.com/ccp for this special upgrade landing page, and you'll be able to put in your Drive Genius serial number there to upgrade to the latest version of Drive Genius 5. If you're new to Drive Genius and you want to get started today, you can go to prosofteng.com and you can use coupon code DGDR132 for a 20% discount on Drive Genius. Use coupon code DGDR132 for 20% off. And thank you so much to ProSoft Engineering for sponsoring Command Control Power.
So, Kevin, I admire your participation in Slack, but you're on it all the time. How the hell do you get to do work?
Huh. That's a good
Did I put you on the spot? I didn't mean to. You know what makes Slack so wonderful? The Mac admins group on Slack. And if you haven't joined this or checked this out, you owe it to yourself to do this. I think everybody who's listening, if you're not on Slack, you must go. And what makes Slack so wonderful are people like you who are not only there with great ideas, but just help people get through stuff. And I know that you're an indoctrinated user. SolarWinds Mac MSP, you were in the product when it was grunt work. You are a real power user with that product, and you help a lot of other people out. So I really admire you being there for the community.
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Well, you make up for my complete and utter absence from Slack, although I did make like two comments tonight because I appreciate it.
Yeah, you made an appearance. Yeah.
I did make an elusive appearance. Yeah.
I was like pinching myself to make sure that I didn't have double vision or something.
It is a great tool. I mean, I don't have a level of comfort with it yet because I just haven't been there often enough to kind of know the conventions and things. Like the thing I was trying to figure out today, how do you say like goes back to lurking is what I was going to say. Is it like a double slash or something in front of it? Or what? How do you, what's the convention there? You know what I'm saying? Like it it'll show up in like italics and.
Now you're far too hip for me. I don't know, Joe.
Really? Okay.
All I can tell you is that you're not supposed to type in caps. That's the only thing I know. So right. Kevin, so let me ask you one thing that came up on Slack, which really piqued my interest. Told Joe about it, and Joe said, "Meh." But I want to hear more about it. Is there was a discussion on the ACN channel about how the OWC Aura drives that are going into some of these new MacBook Airs and MacBook Pros had some pretty dodgy reliability with them. Do you want to speak to that and what you kind of came up with as a little bit of a workaround and some of the pros and cons on that?
Yeah, so I've only installed a small handful of those OWC Aurora and the Envoy drives. Out of six of them, five of them failed and required a return.
Wow.
And maybe I'm just lucky that way. I don't know.
If you've never done a return with OWC, it's a lot of fun.
Right. And you can't go to the store and pick up this drive. It's proprietary. While you're waiting on the new drive, you know, I basically have to buy a new one and then wait for it to come in. They don't do advanced shipment unless it's within the first year. And even getting that advanced replacement takes like days before they approve the RMA. Right. Not too happy about that.
I'm just muttering to myself as you're talking about this. All right, continue.
Yeah, right. Instead of upgrading those anymore, I'm recommending getting an SD card carrier. And they make flush mount SD card carriers. And then you put a micro SD card in it and free up your hard drive space that way.
And you're using Samsung micro SDs?
I think the ones I recently got were the SanDisk.
Right.
200 gig is around $80. Quite a price jump when you get up to the 250s, like almost more than double just to add 50 gigs.
Interesting. And someone had asked about the read and write speeds, and you said you were seeing roughly around 100 megabytes a second?
That's fast enough for iTunes or fast enough, maybe not photos so much, but you throw somebody's entire iTunes library on there, it frees up however much space they were using.
Yeah, it's a really interesting solution. I know you said, Jerry, you summarized my response as meh, more along the lines of like, thankfully, I haven't gotten bitten by the OWC, you know, Aura drive fiasco that you've gone through, Kevin, myself. Although I have installed a few of those over the years, and I think one, maybe two have failed out of probably about the same number you've installed. So I, you know, that's really not a great track record. You know, out of a relative small handful of those drives, you know, I've had less than half fail, but that's not exactly a ringing endorsement. The main reason I've generally opted to upgrade the internal storage is because, you know, clients have the tendency to say, well, let me just get a new drive. Let me just get an external drive and I'll dump a bunch of stuff on there. And the downside is it never gets backed up. It's cumbersome to keep it plugged into a laptop and so on. But your solution specifically addresses that, you know, at least in models where there is an SD card slot, in that it is kind of internal, so to speak. It is effectively internal. So there's no cable, there's no risk really of it disconnecting. And therefore, it's also easy to back it up because it's always going to be connected, essentially. I do actually really think it's a great solution. I'm not sure if I'll use it until maybe somebody comes to me with this kind of scenario where they just need a little bit more space for the time being, aren't looking to upgrade anytime soon. I think that's a perfect solution for it. Have you had any other use cases other than, you know, like Photos library or iTunes library?
Oh, just whatever crap you want to put on it.
Really? Is it indiscriminately like that? And just, that makes sense.
I mean, it's just easy to throw an entire iTunes or photo library. Of course, redirect iTunes to find it and then add it to their backup, add it to Time Machine or add it to their crash plan or Backblaze, make sure it's getting backed up.
Sure.
Or we have clients that sign up for these Dropbox Pro accounts. Maybe they don't have it filled with 1 terabyte, but there's certainly enough data there that you could just use it for your dedicated Dropbox drives too.
Sure. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that. And you can get these card carriers that are flush mount, so they don't stick out from the computer at all.
That's the real thing that makes it like really nice solution where there's no risk that the client's going to say, what's this, and pull it out, you know, at the wrong moment, or it gets bumped or something like that. So yeah, I think that's what really makes it a viable solution. In fact,
they have different depths. So you have to make sure you get the one that's specific to the MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro 13 or the MacBook Pro 15 and Retina. So they all have different SD card depths, so to speak. Right.
And the other thing, too, is, of course, if the client has a MacBook Air 11-inch, it won't work because there's no SD slot there.
Or a late 2016 MacBook Pro.
Right. Good point. So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about your business. Is it yourself, and do you have some other technicians working with you? And what's your balance of residential to business? And give us a little glimpse into what goes on.
Sure. not doing much residential at all. I have my favorite friend clients that I even feel badly to charge them these days. You know, people I've been working with, you know, I've been consulting since 2003 and now they're my friends and you see their kids growing up, you know, so I still want to come over and hang out and fix their computer if I have the time. But everything else is all business consulting, mostly recurring income contracts that managed recurring income, mostly full MSP, the all in. And then some of them are still on the hybrid plan. And then I'll take on projects as I can.
And did you work with an attorney to draft up a contract for you for your MSP work?
I did.
Home for you is where, just in case people aren't following along with the show notes?
Portland, Oregon.
Certainly there's other consulting practices in Portland. Do you find that you're head to head on a lot of stuff or there's plenty of work to go around for everybody?
I think there's still enough work to go around. The personalities and the solutions that I'm friendly with the other consultants here in Portland. We get together for coffee on a monthly basis. We have a level of camaraderie. We do share clients. Like if one is not a good fit for me, maybe we hand them off to the other person. Mm-hmm. So, and the solutions and the personalities are different enough that we can find good fits with those clients and not feel threatened that, you know, there's that competition that somebody's going to steal or, you know, we're not going to make it because of the other company.
As Kim Mandit says, the co-opetition, right?
At one point we discussed opening up a co-op sort of thing, but that was too much herding cats and we never really got that off the ground.
Herding cats, interesting.
Too many details involved there.
And what's the perfect business client for you, like size-wise? Somebody who's just, like you said, all in, is going to just take your guidance and run with it. And how much like help desk support do you do? Like, let's say you take on a client that's got, you know, a server and 12 workstations.
That would be a pretty good client for me. I mean, on the smaller side, I'm thinking 15 clients.
Okay.
At the smallest, and then probably go up to 50 to 75.
Do you help desk support?
Yeah. So the help desk, full management, asset tracking, life cycle, the quarterly reviews, that whole bit, and I'm still a one person shop.
So how do you manage that? Because, I mean, you know, help desk support seems to be the big...
Said it all when you said...
Yeah, lots of hours involved. Like I said, I'm hiring? Yeah, and we're going to do the admin assistant. David Provine very much has me motivated and interested in the admin assistant. I'm also getting that from other consultants that admin first is the way to go. So
yeah, I heard that first a number of years ago at a Macworld conference. I've mentioned before during the ACN business meetings when we held them, which to circle back to the ACES conversation, I think ACES sort of largely takes the place of that. But somebody just jumped up and said that, you know, my one bit of advice was, you know, hire the admin first, hire someone to take care of the things that, you know, you don't need to be a technical person to do, that just, you end up spending so much time doing. And I want to do a whole show about that too. Admin versus no admin. And Dave has definitely come out very strongly in favor of admin, even going back to when we interviewed him on the show a while back.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with him recently, and it just really cemented the idea that I really need to have that admin first, organize this mess of an office, my documentation, my processes, and get myself to a level where we're organized, and then hopefully bring on a technician.
Yeah, I going through that transition was one of the most challenging. I mean, it's ongoing still for me, and I've had an office and a team of people for going on 5 years now. But when my wife first started working with me, that was really where we started, was like, well, let me see how I can give you access to the things that I have. You know, it's like as simple as that at the very beginning, because, you know, when you're a one man or one woman shop, you just kind of get things done the way you need to get them done. And it doesn't always take into consideration other, you know, having other people working with you or for you. So that's one of the first things you need to kind of work out. Been an ongoing process, because even as we've scaled to share access to information and systems and put systems in place for things like formally, we've been refining it as we go and discovering where the systems that we have don't work and where we need to find new systems and procedures and things like that. And also just document procedures, like things that you just know intuitively, you may need to actually document them. Someone else can follow the procedure, and an admin can actually help with all of the above. So that's, I think, been one of the greatest successes in growing the company is just having people to actually help you grow the company.
Yeah, create that documentation. And so this is something, Kevin, that listeners in Command Control Power, we'd love to follow you on this and see how you progress along, you know, go down the path of trying to find the right match. And, you know, it may take several tries before you actually find the right person that's going to be the perfect fit for your office. I think this would be of interest to everyone listening.
I've been threatening to hire somebody for almost 2 years. And it's amazing how fast and furious things go. And you look at yourself, you know, a year or two later and be like, I can't believe I'm still doing it this way. You know, that's also part of to put that business hat on and go to a conference like ACES or, you know, reach out to your contacts through Slack or through your podcast. Like, this podcast has been huge in wrapping my head around growing the business. Again, thank you guys.
Our intention was not ever to, it may have been Joe's, this is Joe's baby, this podcast. So he may have conceived this right from the very beginning, but we kind of grew into it like everybody else did. Where all of a sudden we had these people on and expressing different ways to retool your business and become more efficient through either automation or just in staffing, you know, whatever it took. And so we're sort of on this journey with everybody else.
The podcast was really, and thank you for your comments, Kevin. I'm just so glad it's been helpful. It was really inspired by Business List. The ACN ran a business list, you know, alongside the technical list, and people would discuss this kind of thing through email. And I just, that was like my favorite thing to read, just like other people's comments and thoughts and feedback about the way they ran their companies and the way they were doing things. And then also, like I said, that ACN business meeting at Macworld is a way to kind of have that ongoing on a weekly basis. But far from a master plan of mine or anyone else's, like Jerry said, it grew organically. And going back to the very beginning, one of the first guests we had was Luis Geraldo, because he mentioned this mysterious concept of managed services on one of those mailing lists. And I was like, what is this guy talking about? These words don't make sense together to me. Managed services. I'm like, isn't that what I already do? I manage, I don't understand what he's talking about. So we had to invite him on the show to talk about it. I mean, that's how junior cub we were, as Jerry said earlier. It's great to be able to offer this, but I think to get together in person at a place like ACES and talk this over food or beverages is really another thing entirely. I encourage you, Kevin, to take that step and to definitely share with us, and hopefully you'll come back on the show as you go to let us know that process and how that goes for you, because I can speak for myself. It's really, I can look back and say, wow, it's been 5 years since I got an office. It seems like yesterday. By the same token, time flies in whatever phase you're in, and you can really make some serious progress after you make the plunge.
So I'll check in every 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. That would be great. We should definitely do a show. I'm going to do a show, no admin, you know, admin versus no admin or something like that. Admin versus standard user. I don't know. Maybe we can come up with a creative name for this show. Dave Provine would be a great person to speak at length about this. So Dave, if you're listening, we're going to invite you on for that. I guess now would be a great time to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters, our patrons. We really are so thankful that we have such support from the community, not only verbally, not only in your support of listening and sharing the show, but the select few who choose to actually contribute to us financially on a regular basis, some of whom also pledge at the level where they can hear their name on the air and we can talk about your company to hopefully drive some traffic your way and help build your network a little bit. We're actually about to raise this tier of support to $50 per month. Right now, it's still priced at $25 per month support or higher. We do have some who opt to give us more than that, and we really appreciate that, especially for the existing patrons. Nothing is changing. We really appreciate your support. We're going to keep you at the level you're at. We really appreciate it. For new patrons who choose to pledge at this level, in about a week, this is going to go up in price. So we really hope that you'll choose to dive in right now and lock in that low, low rate of $25 per month. But whatever you choose to do, we really appreciate all your support. And so brand new supporter, Ryan Gowdy of CoreCompetent.com, our latest patron. And of course, one of our longest time patrons, next on my list is JD Strong of SpokaneMac.com. And then we have Daniel Escobar of ProactTex. We've met many of you along the way. We really appreciate it. Actually, Daniel, we met last year at ACES. Richard Wingfield of Envision Design, we've had on the show as well. Michael Thompson of Origin 84. Brian Mueller of Jamf. So Jamf Software is one of our patrons as well. Thank you. Tom Bridge. We really encourage listeners to check out his newsletter, TechnoBits, tinyletter.com. Tom writes a great newsletter. Tim Nyberg of the MacGuys.com, Weldon Dodd, who we met at ACES last year, Dennis Nolan of GoCirrus, Cirrus Partners, GoCirrus.com. Thank you all for your support of Command Control Power. We really appreciate it. So check us out at CommandControlPower.com and click on support to see about all the different pledge levels you can use to support us. And thanks again. Well, I'd like to also thank once again, Kevin Ginger. Thank you so much for standing in for our friend Sam Valencia. It'll be really great to see you this year at ACES Conference 2017 out in Phoenix. It was great to talk with you tonight on the live show here for our listeners. So Kevin Ginger, thanks so much for joining us. And where can listeners find you online?
My website is kginger.com. And the Twitter is kginger_CONS, like consulting. So cons.
Kevin's got a lovely website. So if you go to kginger.com, Kevin's in the Portland, Oregon area. He mentioned that a little bit earlier. So if you've got any buddies or anybody needing tech support in the business realm, reach out to Kevin and he'd be happy to help you. So Kevin, thank you for joining us tonight.
A pleasure. Thanks again, you guys.
And thanks again to ProSoft Engineering, makers of Data Rescue and the just released Drive Genius 5.